Unique Magazine, Issue 16, celebrates the second anniversary of Be Unique Magazine. And we're sure you're going to like every story you read and hear. Just be unique. Now, please welcome Kimberly K. Haynes as she reads her first Be Unique article about the Giving Gracefully Awards.
Giving Gracefully Awards and Game Changer Community Day honors Miami's leaders by Kimberly K. Haynes. For the 11th year, Atlanta-based Ambi Group LLC, a sports, entertainment, and nonprofit consulting firm, hosted the Giving Gracefully Awards during the week of Super Bowl 54 in Miami, Florida, to honor athletes, entertainers, and public figures making a difference in their communities. Among this year's honorees were Miami-based DJ and president of the Irie Foundation, DJ Irie, Sabrina Fulton, mother of Trayvon Martin, and executive director of the Trayvon Martin Foundation, former NFL cornerback and founders of 34 Ways Foundation, Mike and Rachel McKenzie, New Orleans artist and philanthropist John Moody, former Miami Dolphins great Nate Moore, and founder of the Nate Moore Scholarship and Grant Endowment Fund, Honeyshine Inc. founder Tracy Wilson Morning, and ESPN analyst and Rising Media Stars founder LaChyna Robinson. For the first time, Giving Gracefully Awards hosted a nonprofit seminar with prominent industry professionals and a community outreach event to make a lasting impact on Miami long after the game ended. Ambi Group's Game Changer Community Day empowered 300 students in grades K through 12 from the Overtown Youth Center's after-school programs with tools to overcome life's obstacles and be game changers in their community. Students had the opportunity to engage with local school board members and influencers about ways to positively affect change. Several prominent figures from the awards in Miami community attended the community day, including former NFL star and Miami residents Mike and Rachel McKenzie. Learn more at ambigroup.com. For Be Unique Magazine, this is Kimberly K. Haynes. Thank you for listening.
Extra, extra, read all about it, the latest news. If you do not ask, you will not receive. Michelle Schaefer shares her story about Asktivism.
Asktivism 101, written and recorded by Michelle Schaefer for BeUnique.org. So there I was, bebopping around Fresh Time in Lafayette, Indiana, filling my cart with Daya pizzas, Dandy's marshmallows, and some fresh vegetables to throw out later when I saw it at the checkout stand. Veg News Magazine. If you're based in a progressive city, you might not appreciate how thrilling a moment this was, but for me, seeing Veg News on the magazine stand was a symbol of personal triumph. For years, Fresh Time carried a vegan magazine on and off, but it was UK-based, rendering it all but useless to US patrons. And for years, I asked them to carry Veg News instead. I wrote down my request on numerous scraps of paper and spoke with countless managers until one day, there it was in all its glory. Huzzah! For vegan advocates, it's easy to feel weary from having to ask so many questions every time we shop or sit down to grab a bite to eat. But I'm here to tell you to not only continue to ask your usual questions, but to ask more, more, more. Asktivism is a movement based on the concept of repeatedly putting in requests for vegan options at grocery stores, restaurants, and shops until vegan world domination happens. It was started by a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who, okay, fine, it was me, and I haven't won the Pulitzer yet, but I can say with confidence that asktivism works. Asktivism can help save the world. Anyone can be an asktivist anywhere at any time. It's exactly what you think it is. It's asking for more compassionate options everywhere you go. Fill out product requests at the grocery store. Speak with restaurant managers about veganizing the green beans. Sign petitions asking major department stores and designers to go fur-free, and do so repeatedly. In fact, post an Asktivist of the Week event on your local veg-friendly Facebook group, choose a place, your local Starbucks, for example, and agree to drive through at least once that week and ask if they have coconut whip yet. Also, be sure to say thank you for having vegan options or write it on the receipt when applicable. Next week, choose a new place and request. Eventually, corporate will get word and you, my friend, will be a hero. Try calibrating your Asktivism settings to full blast about 85% of the time and watch yourself make the world a better place for animals, humans, and our beautiful Earth. Asktivism may seem like a chore at first, but once you realize it's the simplest way to be an Asktivist, that is, activist, your soul will soar knowing that lives may be saved just because you asked a question or two. Seeing Veg News that day wasn't just a personal triumph. It felt like a social justice triumph, too. I'm glad I persisted in asking for the best vegan magazine in the world, and I suspect the animals are glad, too. Wouldn't you agree? This is Michelle Schaefer reminding you to always be unique.
At Be Unique, we are grateful for our youth and young adults who are working today to change tomorrow. Lynn Dilks reads Sarah Chu's essay about how to be a leopard. Lynn has been with Be Unique since the beginning, and Sarah has been writing for us for almost 2 years.
Be a Leopard by Sarah Chu. Everywhere you turn, you'll find advice on being your best. Experts point out what you're doing wrong to teach their vision of what's right. Friends, family, and mentors tell you to be a leopard in a herd of zebras. But what if you're supposed to be a zebra? The leopard moves with confidence and a deliberate patience without knowing it was created to succeed in its role, just as you can succeed in yours. You aren't a big cat on a hunt, but you can display the same poise and self-assuredness when you meet someone new for a job or a relationship. Be aware of your posture, but don't overdo it, so you appear natural and relaxed. Make eye contact without staring. Don't shift your eyes away suddenly if someone engages yours. Visually acknowledge other people in the room. It takes only a few seconds to become memorable by letting everyone know you see the people, not just bodies. Speaking with authority helps claim your role. Project your voice naturally without yelling. When you leave, thank others for their time. If you don't achieve your primary goal, but display confidence and authenticity, you may be asked to return. You can be the zebra that stands higher than others, or you can be the leopard. Take public speaking classes. Learn how to hold a gaze. Practice good posture. Be punctual. When things don't go your way, remain calm. If you feel like crying or become angry, hold it until you're alone. Every successful human has had hurt feelings, while they display only positivity. When things go your way, tamp down your excitement until you're with friends. If things aren't going how you planned, find out what's missing. Discover where you need to go for the tools you need. Remember, the zebras are all safe if the leopard loses its claws and teeth. Do you want to be a specialized zebra who runs faster than the others? Or do you want to be a leopard with all the tools you need to get the job done? The choice is yours.
Our gardening guru, Kathleen Price, gets down and dirty in this issue.
Mud Puddle. How Dirt Makes You Happy by Kathleen Price. Antidepressants may not be the only way to get rid of the blues. Soil microbes have been found to give you the same effect within your brain without the many side effects that you would get from many forms of antidepressants filled with chemicals. Exposure to dirt is good for the body and soul. There is a natural antidepressant in soil that is called Mycobacterium vaccae. The bacterium is found in soil and may stimulate serotonin production. When the production of serotonin happens, it makes one more relaxed and happier. This type of antidepressant has no side effects and no adverse health effects. The antidepressant microbes in soil are so easy to use by getting outside and playing in the dirt. Playing in the dirt is not only good for your brain, but also good for the immune system and keeping it strong. Fewer allergies, better stress management, and healthier skin. Most gardeners will always say their happy place is out in the fields or the many gardens they will have planted. Hands-on activities such as gardening give young minds the opportunity to explore nature, conservation, and nutrition, and to understand where their food, flowers, and herbs come from. Children will benefit from playing in the dirt just as much as adults. Let's make some fun with this dirt and add some water. Now we have mud. While kneading the mud, your skin may become softer. The minerals that are found in the mud are highly effective for absorbing the oil from your skin, making your skin firmer and toner. Mud will also detoxify the skin and is used as an anti-inflammatory agent for problem skin, such as eczema or psoriasis, therefore reducing pain levels. Mud baths are very therapeutic. They exfoliate dead skin cells, relax sore muscles and joints, and improve skin conditions. So get out there and play in some dirt and stomp around in the mud puddles. For Be Unique Magazine, this is Kathleen Price from the Little Green Oasis.
Be Unique Magazine, Issue 16, celebrates the second anniversary of Be Unique Magazine. And we're sure you're going to like every story you read and hear.
This is Mary, and I want to share a secret with you. When I first heard about COVID-19, I promised myself that dreaded coronavirus would never cast its gloomy shadow on the pages of Be Unique Magazine. I told more than one writer that we would not, under any circumstance, tie any story to the pandemic, believing that somehow Be Unique is above something that has affected every living being on planet Earth. Yet, here I am talking about it. If you think I'm being hypocritical, please bear with me a moment longer. I won't hide the fact that I think the people who volunteer to work with Be Unique are phenomenal. I know they can volunteer their time with any number of other nonprofits, so I don't take their contributions lightly. While I appreciate volunteers who work with administrative tasks, those who work with our podcast and events, or our audio and video productions, I am not ashamed to admit that I am incredibly fond of my writers. They have found admirable ways to talk about our quarantine and other aspects of this most unusual life we all share in one form or another. Even first-time writers, understanding the mission of Be Unique, bring you stories filled with humor and hope. Please don't stop listening if you think every article will be centered around what has shaken the 21st century to its core. We still have many other stories about determined and resilient humans who continue to work today to change tomorrow. Be Unique is right there telling their stories, bringing their missions to life for you in this issue, as we do every issue. I'd love to know how you think we did. Email me at mary@beunique.org to tell me if this issue brings you joy, and please, please let me know if it doesn't. We'll work to make improvements as long as you're guiding us toward what you want. Be sure to find our writers on social media and let them know you read their stories in Be Unique Magazine. Until next time, go with God and walk with angels in peace, kindness, and compassion.
Michelle Schaefer's first story is a sobering look into rebooting humanity.
Could COVID-19 reboot humanity? Written and recorded by Michelle Schaefer for BeUnique.org. My mother is 75 years old, not in great health, and my best friend. If I lost her, I'd feel like an orphan, even at my current age of 49. COVID-19 could kill her, or me. There's no part of me that's not aware of the gravitas of the situation. We are all at a place where we must choose. Could COVID-19 reboot humanity? Writer Sonia Renee Taylor points out, going back to what we've normalized is simply not an option. Nor should we want it to be. Heart disease, the rainforest, dairy videos, Joaquin's Oscar speech. Now this. I mean, what exactly do you need before you go vegan? The pandemic of our consumption of meat and dairy is killing the planet. It's killing animals, including human animals. It's killing our souls and our sensitivity. It's disconnecting us from our authentic, loving selves. And yet, we resist. In the USA, we wait in long lines to get a winged animal sandwich, which we've normalized, but we think it's disgusting that other countries normalize eating other winged animals. We eat animals during a pandemic that was caused by eating animals. We do everything but go vegan, despite how destructive we know our habits are to everything on the planet. Just like so many diseases before it, the zoonotic coronavirus came from animal exploitation. And if our collective conscience can still function holistically, this may be the wake-up call we cannot ignore. We must all go vegan, with the exception of the Inuit and other important cultural groups, obviously. But for those of us who are already vegan, the silence around the animal slaughter COVID-19 connection is maddening. Animal exploitation allowed this virus to jump from animals to humans in the first place. Many of us want to shout that from our rooftops. In Italy, people sing from their rooftops for humans who have died from this virus. Even if those who say the virus was leaked from Wuhan Institute of Virology are correct, wouldn't that serve as an even more urgent reason to let this experience serve as proof of our interconnectedness and our fundamental need for compassion and humanity? COVID-19 is another animal exploitation virus, and all of us are experiencing its consequences. It's time we appreciate our undeniable and shared vulnerability. Car manufacturers, cruise lines, and the RV industry have offered to make ventilators and face masks, hospital beds, and mobile healthcare units. An Indian multinational conglomerate is figuring out how to make more ventilators. Even the most conservative of conservatives is eyeballing universal basic income, and many are supporting things they've voted against for years. So, yes, the coronavirus has taught us undeniably that it is time to end animal slaughter. But it's also taught us that we humans work best when we work to protect and care for one another. It's teaching us how good it feels to see governments, corporations, healers, artists, educators, and individuals working together to take care of us, all of us. Because what we all are on this still beautiful earth is vulnerable living beings who belong to each other. This is Michelle Schaefer reminding you to always be unique.
Tyrell Ernest is not new to be unique, and he's not new to writing, but this is his first article in our magazine called Stand Still, and this is a typical Tyrell.
It's crazy, right? We're literally having to stay inside of our houses, like supposedly all day. But I'm fine with it. This time of reflection made me realize a lot about myself, to be completely honest. Like, wow, maybe I should clean my bathroom more. Every hour, on the hour, isn't an ideal time to eat, but it's doable. SVU is one of the best shows of all time, but it hasn't been the same since Staple left. It's like, can you really get enough of DoorDash and Netflix? In my opinion, nah. One thing this quarantine has brought me, though, is true clarity. No, seriously. In a time of absolute isolation, at times, is when I've truly found myself. It made me realize how we truly spend our lives fast. That's coming from a man with ADD and ADHD. Yeah, both of them. See, we live our life in goals. once achieved things, when we do, we immediately feel the need to venture to what's next, never stopping to enjoy the present. We should, though. I mean, come on, we work so hard. We all deserve to just sit back, remember the journey, and appreciate the outcome. So always remember, when you're feeling down during this time, think about how far you've come. You owe yourself that much. By the way, is it embarrassing that the pizza lady knows my name now?
Just be unique. From South Korea, long time Be Unique writer and supporter, Rena has a message about Mother Earth.
Do you remember? I was talking about needing a rest earlier this year. Time to recharge and rethink, reconsider and recover. And it seems as if the whole world joined me when the coronavirus pandemic started to, and actually still is, paralyzing one country after the other. The Asian countries could, to some extent, base their responses on experiences from SARS in 2002 and MERS in 2012. Sub-Saharan Africa dealt with the Ebola epidemic before. The Western world, however, got hit quite unprepared. And for some countries, the worst might still be to come. Wherever you are in the world, each and every one of us has a story to tell related to this disease. We are suddenly united in our fears and concerns. We are worried to get infected or to infect others, maybe health vulnerable family members. We are worried for our healthcare workers. Do they have sufficient medical supplies, intensive care facilities, protection measures, human resources? And we are worried for our societies. What happens to our communities during social distancing? How do elderly people cope who live on their own? How do single parents cope, families without a garden for the children to leave the house at all? We are worried about the economic situation worldwide. Thousands of people lost their jobs, families their livelihoods, and as always, the poorest are affected the most. One thought that came to my mind these days is that all the problems we are facing due to this pandemic are actually not caused, but merely revealed by it. Our healthcare systems were sick before the coronavirus. A profit-oriented system has no interest in health promotion and disease prevention. It needs to treat illnesses to bill medical procedures. Medical staff was overworked and underpaid before as well. A bonus payment cannot reward them for saving lives every single day, if the world is paying attention or not. The second thing is our global economy. Honestly, I am shocked seeing so many people demanding to return to the status quo. The economy is not failing because of the virus. It is a failing economic system by design. Let me put it very simple. There can't be unlimited economic growth on a planet with limited ecological resources. The measures to prevent the virus from spreading have halted, in many cases, unnecessary consumption all over the world. People finally have to take a break from their ever-accelerating lifestyles and come back to the very basic and essential things in life. And suddenly, it's like miracles are happening. Skies are clearing up, rivers are clearing up, turtles return to the beaches and deer to the towns. Our Mother Earth is taking a deep breath. Let her sigh not remain unheard. Let us bear the consequences of our decades of natural depletion. Let us take a step back and reconsider our deteriorating consumption habits. What do we really need? What can we learn from this exceptional situation? Where did or do we struggle most? Where did we discover benefits for our body and souls? Hang in there, all of you. Let us take a deep breath with our Mother Earth and grow out of this crisis stronger and wiser.
Michelle Schaefer returns with her final story for this issue and tells why she believes this quarantine may be harder for introverts like herself.
Why Quarantine May Be Harder for Introverts, by Michelle Schaefer for BeUnique.org. Introverts are adept at claiming a busy schedule, getting called into fake meetings, and otherwise sidestepping interactions with other humans, even humans they like. But with no such socially acceptable lubricants available during the pandemic, introverts feel they have nowhere to hide. The difference between introverts and extroverts is simple. It's all about how you recharge your batteries. Example, if you genuinely look forward to meeting up with your friends on the weekend, you're probably an extrovert. If you genuinely like everyone with whom you're supposed to meet up on Saturday, but still secretly hope it gets canceled, you're probably an introvert. Of course, most of us are some combination of the two. However, since our world's social and business infrastructure is built to favor extroverts, you might think the COVID-19 lockdown would be a paradise for introverts. You might be wrong. A mentally healthy therapist is probably around 50-50 introvert-extrovert. It's common for writers to be 80%+ introvert, but it's unlikely event planners are. Even though I'm a writer, most people are shocked to learn that I'm a bona fide introvert. That's because I'm a very friendly introvert. I can strike up a conversation with just about anyone. I make eye contact. I smile. I like people and am in no way antisocial. But after socializing, I need quiescence and personal space, and I need a lot of it. Socializing for me means going to the grocery store or meeting up with one friend for dinner. After such events, I'm ready to be home alone with my cats in my house where I'm safe. I ignore technology, pick up a book, or do some writing. With few exceptions, I don't like to talk on the phone. It feels like an invasion of my safe space. And that's why this lockdown has been so stressful for introverts like me. Suddenly, there's a metric ton of social pressure to reach out, schedule Zoom meetings, call up that old friend, do something creative and post it online. I'm now sidestepping groups of people on my once quiet walking paths. Suddenly, the places I went to get away from socializing have become party central. I mean, most of the time, it's okay that I don't video chat and make phone calls and stay hyperactive on social media because I have controlled opportunities to connect in real life. But now it feels selfish and indulgent to just be quiet at home. Now it feels like I'm abandoning friends and hurting people I love just by being quiet. It's true that I'm one of the lucky ones. I get to stay home. There are many introverts who still have to go to work every day, and that's more draining than a true extrovert will ever fully comprehend. But it's fascinating to note that even during a global pandemic lockdown, introverts still bear the brunt of living in a highly extroverted world, even a virtual one. This is Michelle Schaefer reminding you to always be unique.
It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice with a lot of kindness, because this month we have two writers named Michelle. This Michelle is our newest addition to the Be Unique family, and she has a message about kindness.
Kindness by Michelle Hibbs Kalkin. There are all sorts of cute sayings and meaningful quotes about kindness. But have you ever stopped to really dissect the meaning of the word? What is kindness? According to Merriam-Webster, the definition of kindness is a kind deed. The reason I'm fixated on this right now is because I found the show Kindness Diaries on Netflix. I started watching it, and to say that my heart is full would be an understatement. For everyone who needs their love banks filled, just give this show 5 minutes, you'll definitely become a believer. Leon Logothetis, the host and creator of Kindness Diaries, began a journey of traveling around the world while conducting an experiment on kindness. He is an incredibly interesting person and continues to make this world a better place. I deeply admire him and can only hope that my life's purpose is as meaningful as his. How do you explain kindness? In what ways do you display kindness? This is such a thought-provoking concept that can allow all of us to rise up and be the best that we can be. I challenge everyone to practice humility and spend just 20 minutes to tune in to one of these episodes and help do your part to promote kindness.
More forward-thinking professionals are joining Be Unique magazine every day. We are living our dreams. We have a genuine desire to rethink, revive, and restore, which improves the world and the lives of its citizens. Now that's being unique. Now, It has been our honor to watch as Anna East has developed her writing voice and our privilege to join her on her wonderful journey through life. As usual, she talks about how she lives authentically. Be sure to listen to Be Unique Radio on Tuesdays for Anna's show, Here I Am.
Yes, I've shaved my head. No, I don't need to tell you why. By me, Anna East. I've known for 2 years that I needed to shave my head. A few weeks ago, I finally did it. As was expected, everyone asked me why. Most with excitement, some with sadness, and some with an odd attitude that was very disapproving. Most of the time, I'd give them a simple answer. Because I felt like it. No, I didn't always say, to help myself radically love who I am without the identity of my hair. Or, because so many people in my life said I was more beautiful with long hair and I wanted to set an example for others that hair does not determine worth. If I felt safe opening up to someone, I'd say, to let go of the past and embrace the present. But not much more. I felt like I shouldn't have to. Especially when their questions were sarcastic and meant to cut. I'm happy to talk about growth, emotional processing, and self-reflection. But the skeptical questions that made me feel as though the askers want me to prove something to them, I don't feel like I need to. Do they want me to prove my femininity? Are they asking me to squash myself into their reality so they feel more comfortable? Why do I, as a woman, need to explain a haircut to people? I recall my brothers and male friends buzzing their hair as they please, no questions asked. I know that in 2020, it is still a taboo subject for a woman to cut off all her hair. It's even shocking to some. I had concerned people asking if I was mentally okay. I'm glad that they care about my mental health, but I was better than okay. I felt amazing. Were they trying to tell me in a roundabout way that they didn't like it? That they disapproved? When a woman shaves her head, she literally cuts off a form of control over her femininity, her body, and her mind. I know that this challenges the Western status quo, and I felt the effects of that challenge after the cut. The challenge I inadvertently caused brought up confrontation within my immediate community. But then, acceptance, and even some celebration, which caused a wave of peace within me. Most of my family and friends haven't had a close female friend or loved one shave their head. I feel that by normalizing a woman's freedom with her looks, it may help others to feel empowered to step beyond their fear. It gives them outside permission to just do what feels good. The quiet power I felt after the shave is amazing. It's the power of listening to my intuition. It's beamed through me from doing what felt good to me and not letting the rest of the world tell me what I should do for their comfort. What this haircut has taught me the most is that I alone get to determine my worth, safety, sensuality, femininity, and power. Hair does not determine it. Society does not determine it. Our loved ones do not determine it. There is no other explanation we need than this. My hope is for everyone on this planet to experience this and the peace that comes with being free in your own body. And for all the people out there that are letting fear stop them from being who they truly are, just remember that you are capable. You are worth it. You are beautiful now, tomorrow, and unconditionally. So shave your head if you want. Dress how you want. And remember that your reasons of inner peace do not need to be approved by anyone else. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you find freedom and peace after reading this. Much love, Anna.
If you want to better yourself and see a positive change in our world, follow us. Your social media connections and your donations help us continue our mission, and you can become a world changer. First time, BeUnique writer Jen Warner shares the first in his series of articles about MoxieBox Art.
Hi, I'm Jim Warner. I'm the CEO of MoxieBox Art, and I'm reading this for BeUnique magazine. I guess I'm the definition of an entrepreneur. I have tried and failed at so many business ideas over the past 20 plus years, most people wouldn't even believe it. I honestly couldn't remember most of them until I cleaned out my office and found a plastic container with more than 100 business cards. Many of them were mine. Not all of my old business cards had good memories. Over the years, my wife, Jill, would say, "Now what are you doing?" I felt I was smart, hardworking, innovative, and really good at sales. And yet, each and every venture ended up in the same place. Another business card I didn't need. What was I missing? What was wrong with me? During the summer of 2017, Jill and I were heading to an outdoor restaurant to meet some dear friends for lunch. My mom and sister had raved about this place, so we had to check it out. It was like getting off the plane on Fantasy Island. Yes, I'm old. For younger readers, it was like we took a time machine to the perfect place. Lunch was served on the veranda of an old Victorian house, overlooking a beautiful heart-shaped lake surrounded by impeccable manicured landscaping with multiple waterfalls. I never wanted to leave. Towards the end of this amazing experience, our friend Amanda said she had a business proposition for me. I think my wife kicked me under the table. We had been friends for years and had spent so much time together, yet Amanda had never discussed business. She told us about the business ideas she had started and failed herself over the years, and finally concluded she needed a business partner. What she needed in a business partner were all the things I'd always wanted to do. My mind raced and I tried to calmly lead so I could speed home and do my due diligence. This really sounded too good to be true, and we know what that means. I couldn't do this again. I had to find the reason her business idea couldn't work, so I wouldn't let her down. Yet, I felt that fire burning inside. As my ideas raced, every entrepreneur knows this feeling. Is it possible that my past business failures had given me the experience to be right here, right now, for this purpose? Everything about this business venture was perfect. It all became so clear in that moment. My entire business life, with all the failures, finally made complete sense. And I had the Holy Grail, the elixir, the magic potion, whatever you want to call it. It's synchronicity. The universe had brought us to this perfect place at this perfect time with the perfect idea and the perfect business partners. This was the beginning of MoxieBox Art. Please, I hope you read and listen to future issues of BeUnique magazine for the rest of the story.
Sharon Black chooses a unique way to share the story of Project I Am.
Project I Am by Sharon Black. A five-year-old boy helps his aunt distribute food to the homeless in downtown Chicago and wants to do more for them. This sounds like a logline for a Hollywood movie based on a true story with script and development. Project I Am, starring Blessing Bags. Act 1, Chicago. Jaquil Jackson was so emotionally moved by the experience that he had to do more. His family discussed for quite a while how to help Jaquil serve the homeless. Coming up with Blessing Bags was the answer. They planned a party at a local arcade and asked friends to bring items to put into bags. 8-year-old Jaquil shows the world his blessing bags for the homeless. These bags contain much-needed items such as toiletries, clothes, socks, hand warmers, deodorant, hand sanitizer, granola bars, toothbrush and toothpaste, and bottled water. Jaquille's next move was operating a nonprofit 501c3. He chose I Am Naeem as the name of his charity. His mom, Natea Thompson, explained, Naeem is Jaquille's middle name, and once other kids started to reach out to ask to help and how they could do something similar, Jaquille wanted to change it to something else so it doesn't seem like it was all about him. He decided Project I Am so that other kids can add their names to the end of it. Just how he was I Am Naeem, other kids can be I Am Lisa or I Am John. He felt Project I Am was more inclusive of anyone that wanted to join the positive movement. Jaquille said the homeless respond with, God bless you, I'm receiving a blessing bag. He doesn't do this for the honor or attention, but to raise the awareness of homelessness and how to help them. Act 2. Furthering his success of helping the homeless were TV interviews and media who showcased his efforts. His goal is to become a professional basketball player, own his own team, and to help people. He plays basketball every day, tap dances, and break dances. Act 3. Jaquille is 12 years old and has accomplished a lot. His motto is, don't wait to be great. He has met President Obama, had a Marvel comic book produced about him, traveled to many states and countries to deliver blessing bags. He is also a motivational speaker to youth and has distributed 35,000 blessing bags. Jaquille has a clothing line called Trophies. He sells t-shirts and hats. A portion of the proceeds goes to Project I Am. There is a GoFundMe page for people to learn about Project I Am and donate to it. Learn more at officialprojectiam.com. For Beunique Magazine, I am Sharon Black.
Marcetta Davis-Linton shares her elephant story and leaves us some ways that we can help save these wonderful animals.
A Place Called Home, an Elephant Story by Marcetta Davis-Linton for Beunique Magazine. Have you ever wondered where the retired circus elephants go? Are they released into the wild? Are they placed in a zoo? The answer is yes to both, but there is another place they go, in Tennessee. Since 1995, the Elephant Sanctuary has been a hope for elephants that can't return to the wild. The problem with performing elephants is that elephants actually trust people, which makes them easy targets to be poached. The sanctuary is on 110 acres in the mountains of Tennessee. The land is separated into three habitats, the African section, the Asian section, and the barns for the sick, injured, or new elephants. The new elephants are gradually introduced into the pack as they extend their stay. The elephants are introduced into the elephant sanctuary are retired zoo animals, performers, or elephants that are domesticated so that they are people friendly. This private sanctuary takes visitors only by appointment. However, you can see the elephants on their new solar power elephant cams. This camera is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The elephant sanctuary offers a distant learning opportunity for classrooms. The program teaches children about the importance of protecting the elephants and the dangers of poaching. The Elephant Sanctuary is celebrating 25 years of protecting elephants and bringing awareness to these majestic animals. You can help them to help them bring awareness to the dangers of extinction of elephants by doing the following. Be an elephant ambassador in your community. Let others be aware. Write your officials concerning the policies that impact the welfare of animals and other exotic animals. Don't purchase anything that contains ivory. This is why poachers hunt the elephants. Look for Rainforest Alliance certification, Forest Stewardship Council, and Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil labels for products that don't deplete elephant habitats. Don't support the performances of wild and exotic animals. Purchase paper straws instead of plastic. When shopping, take your own bag instead of a plastic bag. Switch light bulbs to compact fluorescent. Refuel with a reusable coffee mug and shade-grown coffee. Choose used. Join in the circular economy. This means clothing, books, appliances, furniture, and more. Buy online catalogs instead of paper. And when planning to visit the zoo, nature park, or sanctuary in the U.S., look for the GFAS or the AZAA accreditations. Be elephant aware and choose ecotourism operations that support local elephant conservation projects and treats elephants with respect and dignity. Do not ride elephants. We can protect the elephants from what this world is doing to them. Join me in becoming an ambassador in my community today for these beautiful creatures. Elephants need us. Are you willing to answer the call to protect these animals? Learn more about this mountain gem and see the history of the elephant sanctuary at www.elephants.com.
Martin Strain shares his story about a young vegan named Evan.
This is Martin Strain for Be Unique magazine. Able to make the connection. Your mom carries you into the family room, setting you down on the couch while she prepares breakfast. A colorful and upbeat song plays, and you instantly know that your favorite cartoon is about to begin. A smile cracks your tired face. Breakfast is finally done. Sitting in your comfy animal print pajamas, you scarf down the eggs, bacon, and pancakes your mother set in front of you, while cartoon animals sing and dance on your television set. For a lot of people, this was a typical childhood morning. As children, we're often surrounded by animals. They're on our clothing, toys, television shows, movies, on our plates, and they're a part of our families. We didn't question what our parents put on our plates. We ate, blind to the disconnection between the animals we loved and the animals on our plates. As we age, we continue to consume them for the sake of tradition. However, some of us eventually made that connection and began to question what's on our plate and question our traditions, some sooner than others. One of those individuals is Evan Lefevre, also known as Vegan Evan. When Evan was 4 years old, he took his love for animals a step further. He was able to make the connection between his love for animals and what was on the plate in front of him. Evan states, "I think that I really started to speak up against animal cruelty as soon as I knew what was happening to the animals. Before I was vegan, I was already making videos about how Thanksgiving was not about eating turkeys, and it was more about being with family." Evan proved to have a tenacity to speak up and speak out. Along with his mother Shannon, his grandmother, and his friends, Evan began attending protests, leafletting, marches, and vigils. He also began attending disruptions, which are a direct action form of activism that involves protesting inside businesses. Evan reflects, "I think that when people don't want to hear us, I hope a seed gets planted in their heads, so that the next time they're eating animals, they might stop and think about what we said, and hopefully it will mean something to them, and that seed will grow." Evan realized how precious life is, and knew that animals have cognitive abilities and a range of emotions. When we are children, we are more empathetic than our adult counterparts. We instinctively love animals and want to protect them, a feeling that becomes a disconnect when we are fed animals and wear them. Evan was able to look at our traditions and concepts of what is normal and reevaluate those ideals and differentiate what is right and what is wrong. After all, just because something has always been done, doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Evan has become a symbol for a brighter future and a more compassionate tomorrow. Learn more at veganevan.com and follow Vegan Evan on social media.
Our editor, Mary Brotherton, shares her story about Hildy's libraries.
Imagine believing you can't change the world because you don't have the network or know the right people to make a difference. Leslie Gang, co-founder of Hildy's Libraries, said, "I want to show you it's not true." She should know because that's what she and David Kennerfogel have done by founding a literary nonprofit based in Long Island, New York, called Hildy's Libraries. People have the power to do good from wherever they are, Leslie said. When David's wife, Hildy Krinsky, died at the age of 32, he found himself unsure what to do with himself beyond his job in raising five young children. Hildy had been a book lover, so the decision to honor her memory through books became helpful for David, in addition to serving a global need. Spreading literacy was so important to Hildy, David said. This project is so close to what she was doing. Hildy had been an English teacher who stressed the importance of reading. Since founding in January 2019, Hildy's Libraries has collected more than 90,000 books and partnered with nearly 400 organizations worldwide. The aspect I think is most unique is how such a big impact can be made from anywhere with Hildy's Libraries, Leslie said. We recently teamed up with three different individuals in the U.S. who are running book drives in their communities. With our help, remotely, they are going through the quality control and sorting process. To complete the circle, we've partnered each of them up with a local recipient in their neighborhood that can benefit from the books. Initially bearing the costs themselves, David and Leslie shipped boxes holding about 60 books each to hospitals, low-income schools, homeless shelters, foster care agencies, outpatient centers, pediatric offices, little free library steward boxes, organizations that work with terminally ill patients and children of incarcerated parents, in addition to others. Leslie said that being featured in a Newsday article, People.com, and now this, was helping bring attention to Hildy's Libraries, and as a result, supporters have helped in a variety of ways. Disney Publishing continually sends us thousands upon thousands of new books. Avery Dennison donated approximately 20,000 labels for free, Leslie said. Our local Barnes & Noble runs book drives throughout the year, and Highlights Magazine agreed to send more than 100 magazines each month for a year. Other publishing companies listed on the website made a one-time donation of books. Leslie said, "When the community wants to do good, and there's this option, and there's a need for it, why not?" Learn more at hildyslibraries.com, and why not find out how you can be a part of the kindness and giving story? For Be Unique Magazine, I am Mary Brotherton.
Sherry Sather has another great story about young people for you in this issue.
Reserva, the Youth Land Trust. Callie Broaddus, a wildlife photographer, writer, and conservationist, founded Reserva, the Youth Land Trust, in August 2019 to empower youth to make a measurable difference in the future of their planet through conservation, education, and storytelling. Propelled by winning the 2019 UN Global Youth Video Competition, the nascent organization has already covered a lot of ground. Callie said, "I believe that youth, if given the platform, can bring the planet back into balance." 6 months before launching Reserva, Callie met Bella Lack, a British environmental advocate, who instantly became an indispensable partner. Bella now serves as the central spokesperson for the 50-person-strong Youth Council, which represents members from more than 15 nationalities and ranging in age from 7 to 26. Each member is tied by a shared belief in solution-based optimism and a love for the natural world. The group's first conservation project aims to create the world's first entirely youth-funded nature reserve, funding the purchase of a 244-acre piece of critical habitat for endangered species in Ecuador's threatened Choco cloud forest through their partner, Rainforest Trust. In September 2019, a small team from Reserva joined in-country partner Fundación Ecominga to explore the site and photograph some of their partner's scientific field research. The Choco is one of the most biodiverse places in the world, home to iconic and rare rainforest species, both critically endangered and new to science. The site Reserva is working to protect the home to some of the rarest species, including new frog species and the beautiful Fisher's Pragmedium orchid, the most endangered plant in Ecuador. Reserva is charged with raising a total of $178,000, and youth council members are raising money every way they know how. Young siblings Alice and Henry Proctor of South Carolina raised $200 with a lemonade stand, and Justin Sather in Los Angeles vowed to raise $730 through his For the Love of Frogs GoFundMe campaign. That's enough to secure an entire acre for the project. Older youth have taken to social media, creating their hashtag Youth Stand for Nature Tree Pose Challenge and creating birthday fundraisers on Facebook. It gets better. Rainforest Trust has committed to matching donations dollar for dollar. Not every young person in the world is able to donate or fundraise. To find an equitable and accessible solution to this challenge, Reserva launched its 1 million letters campaign, asking youth to write a letter saying why they love nature and asking world governments to commit to protecting our last wild places. In return, Reserva will donate $3 toward their youth-funded reserve project as a match, so children can save a classroom-sized area of rainforest just by sharing their voices. In time, Reserva's goal is to collect 1 million letters from youth and deliver them to world leaders through the UN conventions. Learn more at reservaylt.org and follow ReservaYLT on social media. Visit beunique.org extra blog for more of this story, including Reserva's 1 million letters campaign. For Be Unique Magazine, this is Sherry Sather.
We would like to introduce to you Gene Alberson, who shares his thoughts about the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius. Gene not only writes for Be Unique magazine, he also co-hosts our Thursday night podcast.
The age of Aquarius. What a great place. It seemed so imminent when I learned about it. I've wondered my whole life why we're struggling against it. I remember noticing at the turn of the millennium that the internet was something very different. Our technology was racing into the future, and our social maturity was still somewhere behind the bleachers at the homecoming game. Turns out, the internet has become a method to end widespread self-destructive human behavior. The establishment rarely goes down easily, but the internet is an equalizer this time. Authoritarian imperial locomotive has been rolling for thousands of years. It's been building steam at an alarming rate for the last 50 years, and here we are. We're so trained to blame ourselves for everything, but trained to look outside for understanding it all. The joy is that now the entire world knows the plan and can stop it. The invention of writing, printing, telegraph, and telephones helped, but the internet is finally ushering in the age of Aquarius. Music and art and kindness are all universal languages to break the ice anywhere in the with everyone. Everybody can do the hokey pokey together, even if we don't say the same words. Look how everyone automatically knows what to do with Sammy's buddy bench. I would argue that every old saying we have ever heard is true. I've seen how a stitch in time saves nine. Now, how does takes one to know one flavor our expectations of others? Why do we insist on not believing our own eyes? Remember the story about the emperor's new clothes? One of my major life achievements in understanding has been to learn to control my exuberance. Mrs. Spalding, my kindergarten teacher, introduced me to the concept of lying quietly at nap time, even if I wasn't tired, and there was still so much to do. I'm always trying to use my powers for good, thus ever vigilant for opportunities to do so. All those silly old sayings about humans are actually a paradigm of past human behavior. Everybody has expectations and wants to know them. Some are set for us, others we set for ourselves. I decided long ago, if you ain't having fun, you ain't doing it right. Doesn't matter what it is. I expect to have fun, and I do. I left my job as a trainer, even though I got pretty good at it. I couldn't justify graduating only 6 of my 25 starters. I was a customer service star for the bank and tried inspirational strategies for helping them reach down deep for big handfuls of empathy and caring that we all have somewhere. My ideas worked so well, the whole bunch quit and ran off to do their dreams. I had to quit because I could never go back. I really believe there's no limit to what humans can do. I experience a serious, warm glow of positivity and creativity just standing with like-minded people. The human experience has become more universal across the globe, and people everywhere are eager to meet each other and share it, even if they don't admit it or even know it. I'm happy to be part of Be Unique so I can help more people achieve their dreams, too.
Shh, quiet, please. I'm going to learn something. Now, learn why Marcetta Davis Linton says that winter has gone to the dogs. Shh, quiet, please.
Winter has gone to the dogs by Marcetta Davis Linton. If you have ever gone to a dog adoption event, you have probably wished you could save all the dogs there. The eyes of hopeful puppies awaiting their new homes, or the lack of love in the eyes of the ones that are tired of looking, pull on your heart. In the United Kingdom, a special lady is making the wait a little less stressful for the dogs. Her name is Maisie Green, and at 89 years old, she had knitted more than 450 blankets and sweaters for the dogs awaiting their new homes. All 450 were donated to the Dog Trust Shelter. She told the trust, "I love to knit, and I love dogs, so this combines both wonderfully." She works in a group of other knitters, and with the help of family members, she donates 3 times a year. She says this gives her a purpose and uses her talent that she likes. The dog shelter is one of the United Kingdom's largest dog rescue organizations and provides care for more than 16,000 stray and abandoned dogs. Not everyone can adopt a dog, but through acts of kindness like Maisie's, we can show them love. If you can, you won't be sorry. If you can't, look around your house and see if there isn't something you can donate. Here are some ways to give back to your local animal shelters. Buy a bag of dog feed. Animal shelters are crowded and don't always receive a lot of funding. Donate towels and blankets. Dogs and cats love to snuggle, and this provides a sense of security. Cuddle in it first to provide the human scent, as this calms their anxiety.
Donate toys and stuffed animals. What a better way to feel loved than to get a gift. Balls are inexpensive and are well received. Stuffed animals children don't play with anymore are great. Old shirts, especially baby clothes. Shirts provide a compressionable comfort that most dogs love. It's like a constant hug, so yard sales and thrift stores are, well, awesome. Be a RESPA. This is a foster that watches animals while foster parents are on vacation. It's easy and you are making a difference. Being a foster. Give a dog or a cat the love and affection they deserve while they wait for their forever family. Volunteer at your shelter when it is safe to do so. Most of the time, shelters are understaffed and would love for someone to play with their residents, maybe go on a walk or sit and talk to them. So let's use Maisie's Green's philosophy and change the world one dog at a time. I know you will be glad you did. It blessed me to take on one of those rescue babies. Learn more at dogtrust.org.uk. For Be Unique, I am Marcetta Davis Linton.
Thank you for listening to issue 16 of Be Unique magazine. Now, this is just the beginning. The best is yet to come. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And okay, let me stop there. Now, our digital version has many more stories, personal essays, and stunning photography, including a remarkable photo of Anna's new hairstyle. Be sure to visit online to learn more. Just go to beunique.org. We are happy that you are listening, and we encourage you to follow our podcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can find the link on our website at beunique.org.